Hey everybody, my name is Damara West and I'm founder of Be Well Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and liberation so that they can lead and live on their own terms. I am ecstatic about welcoming you into the Abundance Summit, which is all about amplifying your power to draw in more money, more joy, and more ease. And I have Wendy Blum Weiss in the building who is going to help us do just that. Let me tell you a little bit about this wonderful soul. She's a visibility expert, a best-selling author, an international speaker, and a business architect. She helps speakers, coaches, and entrepreneurs start, grow, and monetize their brand and business using her unique reverse engineer your identity method, which we're going to get into. Wendy is also the founder of the Speakers and Coaches Society, which has grown to 22,000 members from all over the world. She also co-produces and co-authors books and has helped more than 30 authors obtain best-selling status. Oh my gosh, I'm sure there is so much more that we could say about you, Wendy, but that was the shortest and the most powerful bio that I have probably ever heard. So thank you for that.
Wow. Oh, it's such an honor to be here with you today. And I'm really excited to be part of what you've created in this summit, the Abundance Summit. So yeah, all yours. I'm coming from South Beach. I'm in Miami.
Oh, South Beach, Miami. Yeah, South Beach looks good on you, Wendy. Okay. I might have to get on a flight and get over to Miami at some point out of this Michigan cold.
So this is the time of year to do it too.
This is very true. And particularly when the snow hits. So stay tuned for that. So Wendy, let's go ahead and dive right in. I know that there's a lot that we're going to be exploring today. The first is, I imagine that many people may be hearing the phrase visibility expert for the very first time. Talk to us about what that is and how it aligns to an abundant mindset.
Well, visibility, it just brings me back to growing up and being in elementary school and didn't want to be visible. So I always sat at the back of the room, if possible. I wanted to blend in. I definitely didn't want to stand out. But in today's world, we really need to put our face forward and to be seen for authors, for coaches, for entrepreneurs, business owners. Visibility is such an important piece of the equation. We all talk about like sales and marketing to get your name out there, or social media and doing live and video and all this. And that's what helps you grow your visibility, because you don't want to be the world's best kept secret. So whatever your passion is inside of you, to step into your power and being visible. And I help people do that by growing their confidence, by having a plan, by focusing on their mission and their calling, and then collectively giving them the more oomph to grow their visibility online.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I'm sure that you have heard many people say, like, I just want to do the work. I don't want to be out in front of it. I just want to be behind the scenes. And yet, you know, the real power of stepping into the light so that we can reach the people that we were intended to reach. And, you know, that's one of the other things that I want to explore with you in connection to this, right? That monetizing our brand can create immense abundance. That's really what your whole business is about, or at least a part of it, because you're a serial entrepreneur, which most folks that are experiencing abundance, they are serial entrepreneurs. And so what are the top five recommendations that you give to your clients on monetization?
Well, let's start with how the introduction of like having a book. I knew I did not transition out of corporate until I was 50 years old. And I needed to take 10 years and consolidate it into 1 year, because I needed to make money right out of the gate in order to leave my corporate career. And I had two kids in college and single mom, all those things. And so that was really important. And the model of going from one to one to one to many is how you do it. And that means having a book. At first, it was an ebook, something really simple, then having a book, and then it continued. I became really passionate, not only about writing, but also helping other people to write their books, to get best-selling status, and to get booked on stages. So number one, to have something tangible, so you don't have to be a billboard to sell yourself. You share your story, your expertise, the lessons you've learned, the transformation in your life, and then you share that with as many people as possible. If somebody invests with you even $20, they're more likely then to buy other products and services from you. I actually started selling t-shirts, so you can add products to it. I put affirmations and sayings on t-shirts. So then you have a book, then you have a product, right? Then you're speaking, and then over time starting to get paid to speak. And then you can grow a group. You can bring a group together. If you're just getting started, it could be something really super simple. It doesn't have to be one of these high-end masterminds. It could just be have a book club, right? People pay, just get them started, paying $25 to go to your book club, and then develop the rapport and the community. So have something, some sort of membership, some sort of group they can join. It can now be virtual. There's so many virtual groups. And then you can stair step up as you are in business longer, years, get the experience, and then you develop all your program around that, and then help people one-on-one. So whatever area of expertise you have, then you're exchanging your expertise for money, but you have to like think about all the different ways. I always say, just put it in a mapping system and then start mapping out some sort of monetization right out of the gate, right when you launch. And even after you're in business for a while, to keep revisiting where those different revenue streams are coming from.
Yeah. You know, I like this because it's very simple, right? We're not talking about, I mean, of course, writing a book is no small feat. Only 3% of the population ever writes a book. So I want to acknowledge that, right? And what I like about the simplicity to what you shared is that you, this whole idea of figure out what your monetization funnel is going to be from the jump, right? If you're going to start business. And what I really appreciate about this is not just the simplicity, but knowing about your background and knowing that you went into business for 2 years and didn't make a dime. And then you found this formula that you use to elevate your own business to help. And then now you're helping other women to also elevate their businesses. So talk to us about that 2 year period, right? 2 years. You left corporate, I imagine, making really good money, right? You knew that this needed to be able to sustain you at least that level, if not more. And you were at it for 2 years and did not make a dime. Talk to us about what you learned during that 2 year period, which could be in part the things that you've already shared, but I imagine that there are other much deeper learnings that came out of that 2 year period.
Well, a few things. Number one, something that I didn't expect happened, and I don't know who's listening today that believes in manifestation or the law of attraction, took up a lot of courage to actually resign. And when I turned in my resignation, my company actually asked me to stay on part-time, which I did. So I did have resources coming in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I slowly was able to build by having the different products and just get my reputation built out in the world of entrepreneurship. So that was happening. But what was most important, and we talked about, you mentioned the reverse engineering your identity. I had to do a whole identity shift.
Yeah.
And I was working on my mindset. I had to practice. I dress rehearsed my resignation for about 2 years before I had the courage to actually do it. And then when I actually did it, then that then builds my confidence. My identity is now like I left corporate. Now I am an entrepreneur. Now I am writing a book. So all that identity shifting is going on. And what I was doing is I was strengthening my belief system. I was working on my mindset. So I was taking courses. I was getting certified. I was doing mindset work. I was learning how to meditate. I was meditating. I was going and doing, you know, breath work seminars and taking these courses so that I could develop the stamina, which I believe you really need in the world of being a business owner and being an entrepreneur. So that's really for, and also the healing trauma. I grew up and with a single mom. She was married 7-8 times. We moved around a lot. We lost all of our belongings, like everything we owned at one point. We were on food stamps. You know, there's like a lot of trauma that needed to be healed. So those 2 years, I think I just carried a hanky. I was crying. I was doing all this stuff, but I was just healing my wounding and trying to figure out how I could get strong, because I knew that once I did cross a plateau, I was going to be able to help a lot of people, because I would not have read something in a book and gotten a certification. I would have lived it. I would have lived getting raped when I was 13. I would like lived on the street and being home. I would have lived those things to really understand and really connect with people, because the people that I've met, like you and those that are listening today, we've overcome something.
Yes.
And that's why we have the passion. And that was really important to me. All of a sudden, a calling was born inside of me, and I was just following that calling. I still follow the calling. I still think about it every single solitary day. And that's my drive.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that I want to extract from what you shared. So rich. And the first thing is that I, you know, when we're looking to embark on a new chapter, we can know that we're ready for a chapter to close. You said you spent 2 years, right? Just practicing the words that you were going to say before you actually had the nerve to say them, right?
Yeah.
And yes. But the minute that you had the nerve to say them, you went on this nonstop quest. Like, it opened you up to just take on any opportunity that presented itself that was going to help you align with the truth of who you are. And the truth is that you are meant to live your life abundantly. You're meant to live your life in purpose. You're meant to share this light with the world. And the reason why you had the experiences that you had was a driver, and you weren't conscious of that drive until you got quiet enough to know that that's exactly what was calling you, and that you could take all of that lived experience and package it in a way that not only helped to elevate your life, but now it's helping to elevate the lives of thousands of people as a result of the courage that you had to enter and then sit with the hard emotions that inevitably came to the surface over and over and over again as you were working to heal and to liberate and to become integrated fully into the Wendy that we know today. That's
amen. Yeah, for sure.
That was really, really important, I think, because, you know, even though we can know it, everything in us can be rejecting it. Everything in us can be saying, I can't do this. I don't have what it takes to do this. And you said it, even though you knew that you weren't strong enough yet to do the things that you wanted to do, you knew that in time that you would get there. You just trusted the journey as it unfolded. And that 2 years has paid off exponentially.
Yeah, 100%. All you need is somebody that's a couple steps ahead of you that is willing to peel back the curtain and speak the truth and then follow the steps. Like, if you're trying to follow Oprah, she's too many steps ahead of you, right? Mm-hmm. So if you find someone who can say, just a few years ago, this was going on and I've been able to do this and this and this, and it kept moving me forward. We need to see role models that represent who we are. And we then can say, okay, there's mirror neurons that we have. Like, I can see what they've done and I can follow a sequence the way that they have. And that and just do the work, because it's a lot of work. We know it's a big commitment. We know that you have to have clarity. We know you have to have commitment and consistency. We know these things that you have to appreciate and stack your wins. We hear about visualization, which is like it's part of the component of reverse engineering your identity. The key with reverse engineering your identity, though, is like it goes deep to your core so that you feel it, that you actually feel that you're Beyonce. Like when Beyonce was coming up as a new singer, like you have to embody all these. You see yourself as a speaker, you see a speaker, but you see yourself on the stage and you feel the fright in the beginning, and that you feel the passion. And that you feel these things and you're working through it in your brain, and your brain is then it's taking snapshots, these pictures, and it's imprinting it into your subconscious mind so that it becomes a dress rehearsal so often that you actually become it. And that takes a very, you know, it's sequential.
Yeah.
You do it one step at a time.
Yeah. And we're talking about deep work, right? And I now I feel like this is a good segue to talk about this framework that you have put together as a result of all the work that you did internally and externally, called the Reverse Engineer Your Identity Method. So talk us through that method and why it has been pivotal to create abundance in the lives of the people that you have been privileged to touch.
Well, as Steve Jobs has said, is that you only connect the dots going backwards. So if you take a look at your life as a jigsaw puzzle, so the first piece of the reverse engineering is to do the healing work. That's really important. It's like if your closet is filled with clothes, it's so stuffed with clothes, and you go buy a new shirt and you stuff it in there, you can't even find the shirt. Where's the shirt? Where, like, I can't. You have to clear out the clutter. That's what goes on in here. You can't just put a lot of new information without clearing out the blocks. So I believe the very first step is forgiveness, because any area that causes you emotional unrest is going to block all the other stuff. Yeah. So forgive yourself, forgive others, go through and figure out who those top people are and start figuring out. You don't even have to call and tell them and just figure out. You have to clear the energy. I said for probably 2 years, I release, I surrender and let go. I release and surrender anything that I know that I don't know, any block that's inside of me, anything that's holding me back from my greatest and highest. And then there has to be some sort of commitment. I'm committed to my future self. So to reverse engineer your identity, you have to be committed to him or her 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, committed to her. I'm reverse engineering when I'm 90 now. Yeah. I'm reverse engineering when I pass. And if you follow the statistics, it says, like, you know, if the average age of a woman is 78, just about, I have 16 summers left. Like, I'm reverse engineering. I might go much further than that, but let me just reverse engineer all of it, but make a commitment that I continue to grow. I continue to take care of my health. I continue to take care of my relationships, my wealth building. So I have these things. So I have to step into all of that with my identity and know that I'm worth it. And that's why I make the commitment to myself, because I'm worthy of being the better version at each stage of life. So that's the second step. And then you have to, like, pause, and you just have to be present. You have to acknowledge how far you came. Wow. I was that girl that somehow survived that rape. Like, I was that girl that somehow got through that. So I acknowledge, wow, Wendy, you were strong. You were courageous. So anytime I don't think I'm courageous now, I can say, well, you certainly were courageous at 13. So to take a moment and acknowledge how far you have come, to allow yourself to revisit that. Now, when it comes to your reverse engineering, you want to get You want to see a vivid vision. You want to see it so clearly that you can actually feel it, that you have a visceral experience in your body.
Yeah.
And you want to breathe into that. You want to hold that. Then you want to see, like, if you want to be a speaker, you see yourself. I remember the first time I was in the pharmaceutical industry and our vice president on the stage, the first time that all of a sudden I have goosebumps right now sharing this story. I saw her sitting in the seat and I saw me on the stage. I mean, that was enough to, you know, that was like a shock to my system.
Yeah.
And so then you sit with that and you go, wow, what were all those steps to get me there? Well, I had to continue to do healing. I had to continue to do all this work. Maybe I take some speaking courses, like all these things. And then what would I wear? How would I walk? What's my body language?
Yeah.
How do I do my lipstick? Like, I mean, it's like all the details. Just recently, my daughter was asked to speak in front of a room of 100 people. She speaks in front of groups of like 20 and she was nervous. And I said, you know, so you dress rehearse that you see all the people and you're speaking to the back of the room and you're making some eye contact and all these things. And then I said, so tell me, what kind of shoes would you be wearing? And then she was like, shoes. Oh, I'd have to get a new pair of shoes. And I said, go get those new pair of shoes because that's going to allow you to step into that identity and what it feels like to put those shoes on and to be standing in front of that group. And now how do you feel from the inside out of your body?
Yeah, I really love the tapping into the material, right? Like you have this clarity and now like just this question, the simple question, what shoes? And we might think, oh, that's so mundane, but it actually isn't, right? It's in any aspect of the vision that we have for ourselves that we're willing to try on, you know, and I imagine you talked about the lipstick or, you know, but until we can see it, it's challenging to embody it. It's challenging to even connect with it in a meaningful way that's going to help us to show up in the fullness of our authentic identity with this experience. And the reality is that you speak to 20, you can speak to 400. Right. But telling someone that is different than them seeing it for themselves, experiencing it for themselves, and being clear that that is what they want essentially for themselves. And just what you shared us with this entire framework, you know, what I love about, you know, having conversations with amazing women like you is that, you know, there are unlimited ways that we can framework how we work with people to get them to step into abundance. But no matter what that framework is, it's rooted in the same kinds of principles. And so this is why we should never be concerned about competition or saturation, or it's a fallacy, because the way that Wendy is going to do it is not the way that Damar is going to do. Wendy, you constructed an entire framework. Right? An entire framework that was meant for you to construct based on your unique experiences that you've had in life. And so I love that. And something else that you said, there was so much that you said, I'm working on my first book called Me Too, A Therapist's Journey to Heal, Find Liberation and Joy. And a lot of what you shared about your story, you know, it's uniquely yours. And I have my own unique stories that are connected, right, to your experiences. And something that you said, and I wrote a whole chapter about the practice of forgiveness as a way to heal from trauma. But the fact that you frame forgiveness as clearing the energetic space, you're just clearing the space, right? So typically when we talk about forgiveness, we don't talk about it in that frame, but that's the reality, because anything that we're holding on to that has a negative vibration in terms of emotionally, it's harming us in some way. It is deterring us. And so, you know, knowing that we are meant to be in an evolved state always. The only way that we can constantly be in that evolved state is by making room energetically for that evolution. And so when, you know, a lot of times people will say, oh, we don't need to forgive. No, anytime that we're being harmed by something, we do need to do it. We can choose not to. But if we don't do it, we have to understand the price that we're paying as a result of not doing it. And so it's not that we are ever saying it's okay. What this person did to us is not okay, but we're saying we accept it. We accept what is so that we can move forward with our lives and step into more of the optimal nature that we were always created to be. It's our design, essentially.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Like energetically and vibration and what we're bringing to the table. And that is the core work. And it's worth it. And there are ways to do it. It's not like you can't do it. You can do it. It's not easy work. First, you have to decide you're going to do it because you're worth it.
Yes. Yes.
And just knowing that it's inside of you, there's also abundance inside of you. But if the abundance hasn't come out yet, there's something that's blocking the abundance. Yes. So let me go in there. And that's why I say, I release, I surrender and let go of anything I'm aware of or not aware. Anything from my history, anything from my ancestors, anything that's physically, emotionally, spiritually inside of me that is creating some sort of void or block or something that I just surrender. And if you, whether that's God, higher power, divine, life force, whatever that is, like that's the power of prayer and the power of connection and asking for help, because we don't know how to do these things, right? So like, just the intention of being able to like just ask for help. Like this is, oh gosh, I really don't want to forgive them. I remember with my mom, I set my alarm for 3 o'clock every day. And I would do forgiveness at 3 o'clock every day for 1 year, 1 year solid. There's a lot of articles that I've written about this. I've been asked to write about this process. And it was hard in the beginning. I was like, I don't want to forget. I would be like, all right, I'm going to send her good thoughts and I'm going to send her, you know, love and all these things. I was like, that's hard. I don't want to do that. She doesn't deserve, like, why would I do that? And then I would have to talk to myself. The other part of myself would have to say, come on, Wendy, we know this is about clearing your energy so we can do this. I'm going to hold your hand. So the two parts of me, the part of me that's still the little girl that used to get smacked around and hit and she called me names. She called me a whore. I mean, she called me all these things, right? So it's like, all right. So the stronger part of me said, I'm going to hold your hand, young Wendy, and we're going to do this together. And that's what I did. But in the beginning, I mean, it's like, if I could do it for half a second, that was a win. If I could do it for half a second, that was a win.
Wow. Well, and how beautiful it is that you knew you could ask for help, and how beautiful it is that you kept with it, right? Even you're going into this dark place that you have held on to, that in some ways has, you know, that's your protector, right? Your protector, your ego is saying, no, we can't do that because I'm trying to keep you safe. And your consciousness is saying, Wendy, I'm trying to actually get you to paradise. I'm trying to get you to a better life. I'm trying to get you to a better you. And so while this protector has done its part, it's played its part. If you want more for your life, it can't play that part anymore. You have to let it go. But before you could get there, you just kept showing up and setting the alarm.
Well, pain will do it. Because when you suffer, I was on the floor. You know, I lived most of my life up to the age of 45 having suicidal thoughts. And I just remember like praying that something would happen, that I wouldn't be here anymore. I was like suffering so much. So when the pain escalates to the part that you just like, you're going to explode. Like there's no other place to go with it. And that's why you hear the, that's why you hear this. It's common. People keep this stuff buried inside of them. But when you let it out, oh my goodness, it's such a good feeling when you finally let it out so it can breathe and then it can dissipate. And then it creates room for you to bring abundance in, because I know the summit is about abundance. And if you explore and you look at abundance in your life, anything that you have really wanted and you've worked towards and you've continued to build on, if it's like not working, then you finally get to a place like, let me examine some of these other reasons why it hasn't happened just yet. And I think it's really important, like when The Secret came out and manifestation, you can chant, you can meditate, you can drink whatever potion and all the things, but until you like get to the core of what is happening. So it's a combination of seeing the abundance and working towards it, and then also figuring out where you're tied down. Where is there an anchor that's like holding you back? That's why so many times when we hear about the lottery or the athletes that make the millions of dollars and lose the millions of dollars, right? I'm more scared of that, like making the money and losing the money. So I got to keep clearing the energy, because just making the money is, you know, part of the equation, and then keeping the money is the other part of the equation. So that you're constantly just bringing your awareness to what the belief system is inside of you, what are the elements, because you can't think two thoughts at the same time. Are you thinking about creating an abundance and flow and impact? Or are you thinking about John or Mike or Kenny or this had happened, or the old, you know, the ex-husband or the parent or the, you know, the friend where you feel violated or wrong? You know, so you just have to go, oh, okay, like, you know, that thought came out, I better take that, because it's back here in the subconscious. I better bring it right here so I can then, how they say, you have to feel it to heal it. Like, let me explore what that's like so that I can get back to the business of abundance.
Yeah. Well, and you know, from an abundance standpoint, right? Hopefully we all get to the space of knowing that source is the source. So no matter how much money has come our way, more is coming. So we don't have to be afraid of, we don't have to attach ourselves, right? But I do think that we have to understand that money is a vehicle for good for us, good for the world. It's just one ingredient when we're talking about the full landscape of what it means to live an abundant life, right? And so I really, really appreciate you imparting that, the entire framework. And, you know, something that occurred to me is that the time that you, up until you were 45 and these thoughts of suicide, I imagine that, and I have a point to this, that you walked through the world and many people didn't know that, right? Like you smiled your way through it. You put on a face. You said the right things. You dressed the right way. You had a level of success within your own right, I imagine, within that corporate space. And so on the outside, everything looked really beautiful and packaged up nice. But on the inside, you were screaming. On the inside, you were deeply suffering and wanting to probably be something different and do something different and not feel these very deep emotions that stemmed from your childhood. And, you know, I wanted to say that because I imagine that people who are watching and listening, some folks can relate to that, right? This externalization of life, and just because something looks good, and this is the case for many people, you said it, Wendy, many people are living their lives like this right now as we speak. And they are suffering in silence. And this is the invitation to see that you are worthy and you can do something different. It is going to take some deep work for you to do that. You've got to face the dark before you can get to the light. But you're a living testament, Wendy. I'm a living testament. And there are countless other people that are as a living testament to what can happen when we really face those deep, dark truths about ourselves and the way that we have truly been harmed at the hands of people who were supposed to care for us in many instances.
Yeah, 100% well said. And the invitation is to get in a community, to get support, to, and when you're listening to a message, like listen to it over and over again, because it's got to really sink in. And then it awakens a part of you that says, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the work.
Oh, so beautiful. I am just deeply touched by just everything that you've imparted to us today. Such a gift. Thank you so much for that. So as we get ready to wrap up, I would love for you to share with the audience one last piece of inspiration to step fully into having abundance.
All right. I love this. And we're talking specifically around abundance. Mm-hmm. So I like to be like systemized, to get like really organized so that you can do the upgrade shift to your identity, to grab a notebook, piece of paper, journal or something, and write out all the words that you can think of that symbolize abundance, like all the words that represent it. Like it can be words like luxury, like all these words. And travel and freedom and all those things, yachts, like whatever can, you know, whatever you can think of, just write them, just get them down on paper.
Yeah.
And then speak them. Words become things. And what you think about, you bring about. Yeah. So as you are creating, I'm going to give you a number, 100 words to write down, 100 potent, powerful words of abundance. Mm-hmm. Write them down. Now it's going to take you a while, and then you're going to start, your filter's going to start like looking for more after you finish your 100. Like every day you'll think, you'll see things and you're like Lamborghini and an SUV and, you know, like this beautiful meal. Like you'll start thinking about all the things that represent it to you. And then keep adding to your list, go beyond 100, but do 100 like right now, and then speak them out into existence. Mm. Because we have billions of cells and neurons, and that is putting the picture, the image into your conscious mind, and most importantly, your subconscious mind, and just really work on abundance and thinking about it and smiling about it, visualizing it, embodying it. So that's what I'd like to part with today, because that's part of reverse engineering your identity, that you're actually seeing yourself driving the Lamborghini, that you're seeing yourself at that restaurant wearing whatever it is that you want to wear. Yeah. With the people that you want to be with, and you're treating them all for a meal. You're taking all your friends out. And then everybody is toasting and you have bought everybody their dinner. Like embody that. And that's the abundance. But you embody the abundance is here in your mind and here in your heart first.
Wow. What a powerful exercise. I'm excited to have the audience to take that on. So thank you so much for that, Wendy. I am so excited about also, I think that you have a freebie for people. You already gave us one freebie. Do you have another freebie for us, Wendy?
I'm going to give all the listeners an audio. So I am going to give them a reverse engineer your abundance audio.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to give everybody.
Oh my gosh. Well, I cannot wait. I'm excited about this. I imagine that everybody else is excited about this that's listening. So thank you, Wendy. Thank you for giving us the gift of you. Thank you for saying yes to yourself. I couldn't imagine a world where I didn't have a chance to know you. So I'm so glad that you found it within so that you can not just live, but so that you could thrive. And to see this thriving in action is such a tremendous gift. So thank you for that, Wendy. So with that, how can we stay in touch with you? Tell us all the ways.
So it's Wendy Blum or Wendy Blum Weiss or Wendy Weiss. So it's W-E-I-S-S on all the platforms. That's my website. My website's wendyblum.com. I also have speakersandcoaches.com. Any speaker, coach, or author that wants to be listed in our directory can be listed for free.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm definitely going to take you up on that invitation. And my hope is that other folks that fall within that coaching and speaking category will also take you up on that offer too. And we'll make sure that folks, of course, can, they have all the links to get in touch with you with ease in all the ways that you have shared with us. So listeners, you heard it here at the Global Abundance Summit. Make sure that you follow Wendy and connect with her in all the ways, because I know that you've been inspired just as I have. And until next time, beauties, Ashe.